Hello and welcome to the Visual Studio 2013 launch edition of Channel 9 Live. I'm your host, Brian Keller, and we're back to the studio here in Redmond. Hopefully you've been paying attention to the great news coming out of the Visual Studio 2013 launch in New York. We'll be spending the rest of the day having detailed conversations with the members of the Visual Studio engineering team who have been responsible for making all of these great things happen. And to start off the day, I'm joined with my good friends and colleagues, Aaron and Sean. I'm going to ask them both to introduce themselves.
Sure, I'm Sean McBreen. I'm a program manager lead in Visual Studio online. A lot of the announcements we had today, largely focusing on our core framework services, working with the connected IDE, working with Azure, some of the things we'll talk about pretty soon.
Yes, great. We're going to go into a lot more depth around that, but Aaron, who are you?
Brian.
What do you work on? You're no stranger to the Channel 9 community, of course.
No stranger, yeah. I'm Aaron Bjork. I'm a program manager lead as well. I also work in Visual Studio, and the area of focus that I have is primarily the service around Agile project management and Agile teams. So that's where I spend a lot of my energy.
Okay, great. So for those of you that were watching the launch this morning, then hopefully you heard about this new thing called Visual Studio Online. Over to you, Sean. What is Visual Studio Online?
Yeah, sure. Visual Studio Online is a new part of the Visual Studio lineup. We had this sort of realization that for a long time we've had lots of things developers use, the Microsoft Network, Microsoft's MSDN subscriptions, Visual Studio, the client IDE, and of course the Team Foundation server and service. And so Visual Studio Online is really bringing all those things together into a sort of single integrated offering. The idea is that when you start working with us in any of those places, that you get the best connection between the client and the service together. So Visual Studio Online is really just giving the best experience to all of our existing and new customers. Probably the single biggest part of that is the fact that now if you go to our new marketing site, I'll give you a look at that later on, there's a single way to acquire both the client software and the service that supports that, and that unlocks a whole new wave of features and scenarios. Everything from the connected IDE, which allows you to roam settings between machines with Visual Studio, through to all the functionality, the agile planning tools, inside the Team Foundation service, or what we've now rebranded formally as VS Online, but also a whole new host of commerce scenarios. The ability to buy a monthly subscription version of access to the service itself, the ability to buy a monthly subscription of the Visual Studio Pro IDE, as well as some additional cloud services like cloud build and cloud load testing, really lowering the costs of setting up an advanced development infrastructure for any size team. So all of that is there for all of our customers now, starting at free. There's a free offering that anyone can sign up for if they go to visualstudio.com and get access to.
Okay, great. So I heard you talk about a lot of things. We're going to drill into those in just a minute here. But first of all, you mentioned Team Foundation Service. A lot of people on Channel 9 I know use Team Foundation Service, and that's now a part of Visual Studio Online. So Aaron, if I'm using Team Foundation Service already, I assume everything just works now as Visual Studio Online, right?
Yeah, really, no changes. If you've been with us already and you've got an account at, my account is aaronbjork.visualstudio.com. That's what I had as a part of Team Foundation Service. Mm-hmm. It's there today in the exact same place. The one thing you might notice that's different is that before you would go to tfs.visualstudio.com as sort of your entry point into that account, and now you just go to www.visualstudio.com, sign in there, and you've got access to all your accounts and your projects.
Okay, great. Now, what about somebody who is not using Visual Studio? I assume we can still continue to support people that are running Eclipse or Xcode, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the great things about this service is that while it's Visual Studio Online, it's not just for Visual Studio IDE customers. Mm-hmm. We've got great integration with tools like Eclipse. Clearly, we've got integration in other areas as well. We support Git natively now, so cross-platform support, things like that, it's all there for you. So regardless of which IDE or what type of environment you're working in, Visual Studio Online is there for you.
Okay, great. So previously, I know that everyone using Team Foundation Service had been able to use it effectively for free, right? We had been in this kind of preview mode. We had not yet announced pricing. Today, we have announced pricing. Mm-hmm. So if you go to visualstudio.com, you can learn all that. Sean, how much is this going to cost the average team?
Well, the first thing you mentioned the question to Aaron was, how does it look for existing customers? Mm-hmm. I just want to make it clear for everyone who's helped us, the hundreds of thousands of customers that we've got out there have helped us get to this point. They have something that's called an early adopter, access to the service for another 90 days. And that means for anyone who's been working with us for a long time, they have effectively unlimited users, unlimited access, and access to cloud load and cloud build at no additional cost. So I just want to say that for the people who've helped us along the way, thank you so much for being part of the journey to get to today. But yeah, from today on, basically you can sign up with your Visual Studio Express IDE or through the marketing website and get access for 5 users for free in the service. And the simplest way to think about it is we have these concepts of free accounts. You and 5 of your friends can join that. They also have an allocation of cloud build and load testing as well, so they can try that out. And you can have as many projects inside that account as you want. So for a lot of teams and a lot of individuals, that's all they need. So the first main thing is it's free for anyone who's not a customer today to have a look at the service. And one of the big features we have is the ability to trial advanced features. I'll circle back to that. For any MSDN customers, anyone who's got MSDN platforms, Test Pro, MSDN Premium or Ultimate, the service is included in those. And in fact, you can access as many accounts in an unlimited way as you want. And this is just a great way that we've continued to add value to MSDN subscriptions. So there's a free offering, there's an MSDN subscription offering. And in the middle there, we have a number of monthly offerings to enable you to scale up and scale down as companies grow and shrink, or if you've just got a more flexible workforce. And as you mentioned, those are all detailed out on the website. And what you simply do is you connect into Azure, so you have one bill from Azure and Visual Studio, and you can purchase month-to-month subscriptions for additional users.
Okay, great. So let me try on a scenario. Let's say that I'm a software development team that has 10 developers, right?
Yep.
Can I have 5 free accounts and then 5 MSDN accounts? Is that...
You absolutely can mix any combinations of those users, free users, MSDN users, or the monthly subscribers. And for some organizations, that'll be the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. Obviously, for you know the larger the teams get, we've always had great competitive discounts that we can give those teams through volume licensing. So that's probably what that'd do.
Okay, great. So let's actually, I think you wanted to take us through a demo and show us some of the new screens that light up for people that are signing up for accounts here.
Okay, well, Aaron actually mentioned earlier that one of the big things we have with Visual Studio Online is a new marketing portal, one place to go. We used to have previously tfs.visualstudio.com, which was focused on Team Foundation Service, and the Visual Studio marketing site, which is focused on that. And now we have a new marketing site. And actually, I might give Aaron just the ability to look through there and show you some of the things that are new.
Sure. Yeah, let me comment on a few things that I think you might want to take notice of on the new site. So right away, you can come up to the menu and sort of click on the products and explore the different products offerings that we have. So you can see the Visual Studio offerings, see Visual Studio with MSDN here. And drill in and explore those. We've got a section that talks a lot about the different features in the service and features of Visual Studio, so you can definitely check that out. If you're interested in downloading the IDE, you can come up here and get access to that right away. We've got a ton of really great getting started content, and I'm really proud of this because you can come right up here and learn how to set up your account, learn how to get started right away, and it's really, really rich but really, really consumable content. And I'd encourage everyone to go up there and check it out. I think this is your gateway into the service and into Visual Studio Online. One of the great things we do is we publish updates to the service on a regular basis. And just about every 3 weeks, you see us talking about new features on the service. And we've got a news feed up here that talks about some of those. So I'll click on one that we did actually last Friday here. You can see that last Friday on November 8th, we actually released a new feature called chart pinning. So we've got this great feature that allows you to build work item charts, and we give you a great way to just pin those to your home pages. And every few weeks, you'll see us up on the service talking about new features, so that's another great thing. And then clearly, we've got a support section as well with common FAQs, forums, community options, and ways you can get in touch with us if you're having problems.
And speaking of FAQs, just a reminder that as we're going through these interviews through the course of the day, you can ask us questions. So just type in your questions at the bottom of the player, and we will ask them directly to the engineering team.
So one of the key goals in a site like this is obviously to give you that sort of end-to-end getting started content, understand why you would be interested in getting started. But for many people, they just want to get that. They want to get started. And across the site, you see a button here that says Get Started for Free. And that's really the entry point to starting with us. And what you do here is it's going to ask you to sign in with a Microsoft account. I'm just going to do that.
This is what used to be Live ID, right?
That's right. Correct. Typing in this for a second.
It's a pretty good one-handed typing.
Yeah, I'm holding onto the keyboard color here, so mind you, you've seen me type before, Aaron. I'm not exactly the most advanced one. Sean VSO. One-handed typing failed me. Okay. It's
probably your accent that it's having a hard time understanding.
Speech would be a lot better. And so here, straight away, you see that this is where you go to download the Visual Studio Edition that you want, but it's also where you can go to just create a brand new account if you don't have an account. And it really is that simple. Fill in a couple of fields here, you get your free service account, you get your trial of the client software. And one of the other things that we mentioned is we really have got some commerce options. And I just thought I'd show you one other thing that's useful for customers of the Azure infrastructure. So here you see I'm actually in the Azure management portal, and you can see that added into Azure as a first-class citizen is the concept of Visual Studio Online. So if I just go back to the sort of root management portal, you can see that there's Visual Studio Online here in the drawer. Under App Services, you've got Visual Studio Online. And I've actually connected up my account here. I'm just going to navigate to my Visual Studio Online account. And in here, you can see activity that's happening across your account. But this is also where you go to purchase additional licenses. It's where you go to purchase additional load and build tests. So some of those questions you're asking.
Yeah.
And MSDN subscribers, just log straight in.
And that's significant, the unified billing portal, because you don't have to now think about, you know, I've got my Azure bill over here and my Visual Studio Online bill. You can consolidate all that. You can set up a purchase order. You can get enterprise discounts. So you guys have made that very easy for people.
That's right. And Scott made a few announcements about the expansion of the dev test benefits. We're really working hard to bring Visual Studio and Azure together, this great blend of the cloud platform and also the development tools for it.
That's great. You know, I've been talking to customers about TFS for a very long time. I like to say that back in 2005, 2006, I kind of started my career as a TFS apologist just because it was so hard to set up. There were all these great capabilities that if you could just get through the setup and installation, then you could get access to. But now, I mean, just a few seconds here. Let's also talk about the on-premises product, because with that, you can now get started in under 30 minutes. What are people going to notice as the major differences between what you see in Visual Studio Online around TFS capabilities and what you get on-premises, Aaron?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think first is it's going to look very similar. So when you think about Visual Studio Online, you can really think that it's just maybe usually 3 or 4 months maybe ahead of where the on-premises product is. So in our last product cycle in Visual Studio 2012, we started what we called regular updates to our on-premises customers. Mm-hmm. And those were essentially roll-ups of value that had been delivered to the service, but in a package that you could install on-premises. So the chart pinning feature, which I mentioned earlier, again, went live on Visual Studio Online on Friday. And that's something that in our first update to Visual Studio 2013, you'll be able to download and install.
Okay, great. We have some questions coming in from Channel 9. The first one here coming from Dave Baker. Will there be any ecosystem for extensions in Visual Studio Online? Is that something we can talk about?
Yeah, it is. I think it's definitely something we're working on. So we're working hard at making sure the service is extensible. We plan to have a way for you to use REST APIs and you know, modern methods to talk to the service, communicate with the service, and extend the service as well. So I think that's something you'll see us be talking a lot more about in the future.
Great. Another question here from Mike. Basically, I think what he's asking is, what's the learning map? Like, he's trying to catch up on everything that's coming out of the launch. There's kind of a fire hose of information coming at everyone right now.
Yeah.
What are some strategies for teams as they start to ease into this adoption of doing ALM in the cloud?
Yeah, I think what I might, you know, kind of encourage people to do is start with visualstudio.com. Is go there, and I would encourage you to just go to that Get Started section and start working through it. We've really designed that content to be, like I said before, consumable and approachable. Mm-hmm. And step by step, you can start to see the value sort of unfold as you're going through it. One of the great things about that as well that we've done, and Soma mentioned it on stage, but this concept of a connected IDE, where when you sign up for your Visual Studio profile and then get your Visual Studio account, all that source code, your backlogs, and all that are accessible right from Visual Studio. So once you've got that and you're inside Visual Studio, all that data is going to start showing up there for you. And you know, even I point to the start page in Visual Studio is a great place where we've got tons of videos, tons of rich content to kind of introduce you to all the new capabilities in the 2013 product.
I know you're very proud of that. I also love that learning section of visualstudio.com because I so often get questions from customers now that just happen to have a tutorial with screenshots, and it's really great. You guys have done a great job there. So Zach Bonham is asking a little bit more about our extensibility. Are we supporting OAuth against Visual Studio Online?
So one of the things that we have in my team is the identity stacks across the client and the service. And so I can say that we're absolutely working on OAuth and all those other things. We're thinking hard about extensibility, which is Aaron said, but we've got nothing really to announce or disclose right
nothing
now.
Nothing to announce yet. Okay.
There's significant things we care about.
Great question from Zach, though. Zach's, we talk to Zach a lot on Twitter, so good to hear from
him. Okay, so fair to say it's on our backlog?
It's on our backlog.
Okay, great.
It's on the, yes.
PMs, we're very good at saying that, yeah.
Really specific question here from Med. Is it possible to link a change set to a work item directly from the comment? I know you can do that with Git integration.
Yeah, you can do that with Git integration. We don't have that in TFVC yet. Okay. Again, that's another thing that's on the backlog. So.
All right. Sounds good. So
we
should mention, by the way, I know you've mentioned Git support for Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Online a couple of times. That's in addition to centralized version control, which we've had for many years. And both of those are kind of, you know, we're committed to both of them equally moving forward and co-evolving, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think anytime you create a new team project on Visual Studio Online, you're right away presented with an option, which version control system do you want to use? Mm-hmm. Do you want to use sort of our classic Team Foundation version control, which is great, we're making great improvements to, an awesome version control system, and then we've also got the native support for Git as well.
Okay, sounds good. Here's another great question from Todd. Does Visual Studio Online work with ADFS for enterprise single sign-on?
So
must get this question a lot.
We do. I think between OAuth and full ADFS and org ID support for the service, they are the highest things on our platform backlog. So look for news in the future around those things. We're definitely thinking hard and working hard on those topics.
All right, you're giving us some good spin this morning, Sean. I'll let you off the hook on that one. So how do you see customers adopting Visual Studio Online? Like, what are some common use cases? Is this for everybody now, or are we going to continue to have TFS on-premises now moving forward and co-evolving those?
One of the key differences between the online service and the on-premise product is just it's so much easier to get started. And it obviously has some unique features as well that are service only. So there's some reasons that people want to just start with this cloud service. So the sorts of things you can do up there that you can't easily do on premises, obviously it's easy to maintain your infrastructure, you're always up to date, it's easy to work outside your firewall with people who are outside your own organization without having to worry about the configuration changes that you need to make. Also, we support the build and load test infrastructure I mentioned earlier on, so you don't have to set up your own environments for those things. You can just leverage our environments. There are, of course, some limitations with the cloud service versus our on-premise product. And fundamentally, they're around some of the customizations that you can do to things like the process templates and also some of the limitations that we have around reporting. For small teams, those really don't, those aren't an issue, and even for many big teams. So there's a place for both, and what we actually see is many customers starting out with the cloud service as a way to trial and get used to Team Foundation Server, and then moving to the on-premise product if they really want all those extra bits of power as well.
That's great. So you mentioned load testing. We have a question here coming in from William Salazar. Hi, William, friend of Channel 9, former Microsoftie. He's asking on the about the roadmap for load testing capabilities. I don't know if you guys are the right people to talk about that.
We're probably not the right people to talk about the roadmap for load testing.
I do know one of the things that from my own conversations with that team that a lot of people are asking for is how can you make sure that you get rich data back from the system that you're testing? Because right now you kind of get this outside-in black box view in terms of the graphs and the performance charts, but you don't actually understand how the system under test is doing. Is it running out of memory and that sort of thing?
Yes.
So I know longer term, one of the things that team's trying to do is actually align the load testing solution in the cloud with Application Insights, which we saw at the very tail end of the keynote. Now, we haven't talked about Application Insights yet in this interview. How should people think about Application Insights, keeping in mind we're going to spend another 30 minutes after this session, but just tee it up and tease us a little bit here.
Yeah, I guess I'll take that one. I think they should be excited. I mean, Application Insights is a brand new service as a part of Visual Studio Online. We're really just getting started in there. We've got this limited preview that we've announced today, and we're excited about what it's going to do for people and their apps because it really gives you, as the name says, insight into what's going on with your application from how people are using it, what features are really being used within that app. You can really instrument your app in a lot of really exciting ways. And once you have that data, you can learn so much from that and apply that learning all back into your backlog. So I think they should be excited about it. And like you said, we got another session this afternoon to talk more about it. But it's very exciting for us, for sure.
That's right. Yeah, I can't wait to learn more. And we've got a couple more questions, one from Anil, one from Dennis. Very similar questions I'm going to roll together. So Anil's asking, is TFS restricted to Microsoft-only IDEs? Something we hit on at the beginning of the interview, but I'll ask you to revisit that briefly. And then also, will VS Online only work with 2012 and 2013 development environments like Visual Studio 2012 and 2013?
Yeah. The note, it's not constrained in any way to the IDEs that you use. So you did touch on it before. For instance, our Git repositories work great with Xcode. We have our Team Explorer everywhere for Eclipse. And we also have command line tools and Windows Shell extensions that all work directly against the service. In fact, the service itself works right back towards Visual Studio 2005. With the MISCII provider, which is also supported by the service. So really, it's not constrained to any straight version of Visual Studio or any development tool itself. The service is a great way for teams of any size and any combination to collaborate.
Great. And I know right off of visualstudio.com, you can download the necessary add-ins or patches, in the case of the older versions of Visual Studio, to connect right up to Visual Studio Online.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's great. So one great question here to kind of close out the segment. Ross is asking, how do you convince a company to put their source code and their bugs and all of this, you know, really mission critical information to a development team into the cloud? How do you think about having that conversation with a customer?
Sure. I think for us, we do some of our development in the cloud for things like the Team Explorer Everywhere product. But you know, this is one of the places where if an organization really wants to protect their IP and have tight control of it, they may choose to still persist with their on-premise product. The benefits of the cloud service are pretty clear, but we're not really trying to focus on solving the highest end of the enterprise scenarios. That's not our core goal at the moment. It's for small teams and teams who are getting going. So that said, the way I'd convince my boss is it's included with the MSDN subscriptions that you've already got. You don't have the cost of running the infrastructure. You don't have the cost of upgrading and administrating the service. And there's those great new features. But really, I think there's a line there that if your key requirement is, you know, protection of your assets and you need them inside your firewall, we have a great answer for that too, which is Team Foundation Server.
Great, great. That sounds good. So, Aaron, I'm going to beat you up with a couple of questions. I
sure,
know you get all the time. So, RJ and David Smith are asking similar questions. What about things like SharePoint integration with Visual Studio Online, additional reporting capabilities? Because, of course, we've got the full warehouse on premises, but not in the cloud. Are these things on your backlog?
Yeah, they are on our backlog. And I'll comment a little bit on them. As Sean mentioned, there's clearly, the online service has some gaps, and we haven't filled all those gaps from as it's compared to the on-premises version. Reporting is a great example of that, where we've got the lightweight charting capabilities there. We don't have the full sort of reporting services, you know, the cube story there yet. We're actually working on that right now. So we don't plan to leave those gaps there forever. We're essentially prioritizing them and then filling them in as we go. And I'm sure you'll hear us more say more about that in the future. SharePoint, I don't have anything specific I can say about SharePoint, but again, that's another one of those gaps we recognize. And yeah, we're hard at work.
Yeah, so plenty of job security for you guys.
It's definitely on the backlog.
That's great. That's great. Well, we are out of time for this segment, so thank you both for joining us. And get back to work on that backlog, if you would. Maybe take a half day off. That's okay. Celebrate the launch. We have a lot more questions we didn't have time to get to, but these guys are very active in the visualstudio.com forum, so you can go check us out there. You can go check us out on Channel 9, and we'll just keep the conversation going. So up next, we have some of my friends from the diagnostics team and the application insights team. We're going to go really deep into application insights and some of the other debugging capabilities that you get with Visual Studio 2013 and Visual Studio Online. So I hope you'll stick with us here on Channel 9 Live.